Have you been trying to navigate the world around you, feeling like you're behind or you're missing something? Do you feel like you're riding a lawnmower in the fast lane of life? Well, you've come to the right place. Michael Lee and RB will break down and demystify the world of technology, health, and culture, leaving no stone unturned. So join us as we take this lawnmower into the fast lane and ride into the second half of life. Welcome to Lawnmower in the Fast Lane. Welcome to Lawnmower in the Fast Lane, where we ensure no person of a certain age is left behind. We're your hosts. I'm the king of dad jokes, Michael Lee.
And I'm RB,
the jokester extraordinaire. And thank you for joining us today, where we're going to be discussing laughter and healing through humor.
Or laughter therapy. I've seen
therapy.
It called.
I like that one as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael, have you heard of this before? Are you familiar with it? Or did you just find it on the internet and start doing research?
You know, I started doing research. And as I did research, I felt like I'm getting my life a lot more understanding than I did before.
Ooh.
And by that, I laugh a lot. I try to laugh a lot. I try to approach life with humor. And as somebody who has had a chronic illness for many, many years, I will say I have used humor many, many times through my life to joke about me. Of course, also being a gay man, I make lots of jokes at my own expense. And I didn't realize until learning this that might be a good thing.
Well, as long as there's laughter involved, it sounds like it is.
I do believe that sometimes, you know, you do have to step back and let things be, you know, more serious.
But I know for myself, I first heard about this. It was in, I think, the early 80s. It was a long time ago. And I just saw a news article on the evening news where some doctors had discovered that people that were having operations, they would have the same operation. I don't know, an appendectomy. I kind of forget what it is. Maybe a hernia operation. They'd put these like patients in the same room. And this one patient's family had brought that patient, the dad, a bunch of Three Stooges VCR videos. And he was watching them with the headphones on. And during rounds, the doctors noticed that this individual that was watching the Three Stooges, he was healing better and faster. In fact, he was let go. I forget exactly what the surgery was, but it was a surgery where they would have to stay in the hospital for, remember, this was 45 years ago or so.
Yeah.
And they would stay in the hospital to recover, fully recover, before they would let you go home. This guy got to go home a week early because he had healed up so much faster than the other people that get the same operation. And they found that kind of interesting, and they started looking into it. And it became one of those things where, you know, you hear now, hey, there's a chance that, you know, maybe laughing will help you heal more. And then all of a sudden, all the studies come up. That's where I first heard of it anyway.
I feel like I first heard about it, about laughter as medicine, from the movie Patches. Was that what it was called? It was a Robin Williams movie it was based on a true story about a doctor who basically created a laugh clinic. He would dress up like a clown and he'd go in and he'd like honk his horns and he'd, you know, like he didn't dress up like a clown, but he put on a red nose. That's what it was. He put on a little red nose and he'd walk around with the horn. And it was an entire thing where he basically created an entire system, I would say, of people would come to his clinic specifically, like patients that were long-term or, you know, terminally ill and things of that sort. And he would basically have these clinics that are all about laughing, and he'd bring laughter. And they did find through this similar thing, and maybe it's kind of based on the same you know, studies, but that laughter really does make you better. It heals you.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of see, I can't necessarily see that laughter would heal you, but if I think of the opposite, yeah, I can see how depression and mopiness and kind of just the poor negative attitude can, you know, prevent fast healing. I can kind of see it on that end, on sort of the negative side. I can see, yeah, well, sure. If you know, if every day is a horrible day, then you're not going to heal quickly.
So I did a little bit of research. Well, actually, first I wanted to start off with something a little different. What makes you laugh and brings humor to your life?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess there's a lot of things in there. I think probably, I guess I like, I forget what they call it more. I don't want to call it slapstick, but there's a certain style of humor where people fall down and
I think that's physical comedy.
Physical comedy. Yeah, very good. Yeah, I if it catches me off guard, if I'm not expecting it, yes, physical comedy is good. Like, for instance, the Dick Van Dyke Show where he falls and stuff happens. And I don't know why I brought that up. But
no, that's a really good example, actually.
There's that. I guess it's stuff that catches me off guard. And if you hear a joke where someone's talking and they're telling the story and you're concluding before you hear the punchline that, okay, this is how this is going to end. And then if it turns out to be a different ending than you had anticipated, then I find that funny also. You know, the ones that kind of catch you off guard. How about yourself?
Actually, physical comedy is a really big thing for me too. I really love it. That brings a lot of humor to my life. I like listening to funny podcasts. I'll give a little shout out just because it's one of my favorite podcasts. I love listening to the podcast Beach Too Sandy, Water Too Wet, where they read these reviews of reviews that they found online, but they read them in a dramatic fashion. And I will tell you, on my drive here, when we moved from Portland down here, I listened to so many episodes and just was laughing. I mean, just belly laughing. And I also just love being around people that make me laugh. And I'll tell you, my mother-in-law is a really good example. Half the time we don't know what we're laughing at. When she starts laughing, she gets these really big belly laughs and just starts laughing. And we're all on the floor laughing and we don't even know what we're laughing about. That's the kind of laughter I love, is when you're sitting in a room and then somebody says something and you all just kind of bust out laughing, and it could be anything. You know, I know my husband and a lot of people in our life have kind of a sarcastic wit about them. And I love that, because they'll just say something and you're just kind of like, what was, it may not be probably the most PC sometimes, but right. I will say, but when you're in your little circle and you say things, I don't know, I just love laughing. And my husband and I both have talked about how much we love humor in our lives, and there has to be humor.
Yeah. And you need to laugh at yourself also, of course.
Yeah. I have,
And it's also contagious, I want to say. Laughing, before we jump on, it's so contagious when you have two people, you know, one person tells a story and the other one really starts cracking up. You end up laughing also in a lot of ways. And I like that. It is kind of, it's fun.
Okay, I'm going to circle back around to that in a few moments, because I have a few things to mention on that. Maybe we'll get down to the nitty-gritty first, and then maybe we'll have some surprises for our listeners. So what I did is started looking up some of like the benefits, and I went to good old Mayo Clinic. And
me too.
Did you?
Uh-oh. Okay. Uh-oh.
Just so people know, we don't actually do our research together, so this is the first time I think we've gone to the same place.
Okay. Well, let's hear what you got.
What I Googled was healing through laughter. And this was one of the first things that came up, and it kind of gave some short-term benefits and some long-term benefits of laughter. And so some of the ones that I thought, maybe you had some of the same things that I had as well, was, so we'll start off with some of the short-term benefits. That's the first thing that I do know, is it relieves stress. And we just mentioned that, like, you relieve stress. You know, you can be having a horrible day, and then the moment you see something funny and your whole energy shifts, when that happens, it actually lowers your stress, which we've all witnessed when that happens, because you may be having the most stressful day and you can see something funny and you start laughing. And then the next thing you know, your stress has gone away, which means that your heart rate's lower, your blood pressure's lower. And that's always a good thing. You know, when I'm feeling really, really stressed out and things are getting really wild, then, and I watch one of my dogs running through the house, all of a sudden my whole mood will change. What about you? What do you got?
It does stimulate the organs too. Laughter and it enhances your intakes of oxygen, and it stimulates your heart, lungs, and muscles, and it increases the endorphins released in your brain. And those are all positive aspects and things that we should be doing more often than not. Another short-term effect is what that is.
The third that I had for the short-term effects was that it soothes tension. So what they say is that it stimulates circulation, it helps muscle relaxation, can even reduce some physical symptoms, which once again, I think we all kind of feel that. We start laughing, our bodies just kind of relax a little bit. I also feel like sometimes if you get a really good laugh in, it's like an ab workout, because you're laughing so hard and your whole abs are just like, oh my gosh, it hurts from laughing so hard.
It's funny listening to you talk. I remember, so I had some friends that I used to hang out with who just aren't around anymore, but we would laugh so hard sometimes my stomach would hurt, just like you're saying. And I also would have, I'd have trouble catching my breath. I'm laughing so hard. I have a lack of oxygen, and that's from laughing hard.
My mom does that silent laugh where you're like, are you okay? And she's just laughing, but there's no sound coming out. And it's always made me laugh even more, because it just makes you laugh, because you're like, well, first thing you think is like, are you okay? Are you breathing?
Right.
And then next thing you know, you're just like, oh my God, yes, this is hilarious. Like, we're all having just a blast. So
yeah, I think my sister does that. She just kind of has her mouth open and looks at you, and with no sound, just kind of.
Yes. And you're just kind of like, are you okay? Are you going to, and then there's this little like, and the big breath, and then it goes back.
Yeah. You know? Right.
So that's some of the short-term effects, but not only do we have short-term effects, but we've got some long-term effects.
Yeah. Laughter isn't just a quick pick-me-up, Michael. It's good for the long term.
How is it good for the long term, RB?
Well, for one, it can improve your immune system. Negative thoughts manifest into chemical reactions that can affect your body by bringing more stress into your system and decreasing your immunity. By contrast, positive thoughts or laughing can actually release neuropeptides that help fight stress and potentially more serious illnesses. And that's just one of the many long-term effects. You can relieve pain by laughing. Laughter may ease pain by causing the body to produce its own natural painkillers.
That's a really good one. I'll tell you, whenever I've been healing from a surgery or any kind of major, like when I hurt my back, things like that, even though it hurts sometimes, it still feels better when I'm able to laugh at it. Personal satisfaction. Meaning that it's easier to cope with situations. And one of my favorite parts about that is that it also helps you connect to people. Yes. I don't want to be around people in my life that I can't laugh about things.
It's so funny you say that. So I'm just going to butt in here real quick. And I don't know if it's because I've been studying up for this podcast or not, but I saw the neighbor lady and she's terse would be a word. So I tried to say hi, and this is just this morning, and I was kind of trying to make conversation, and all her answers were no, yes, hi. And then she turned around and walked away. And I thought to myself, she doesn't laugh very much. That's the first thought I thought. And again, I don't know if it's because this podcast was in the forefront of my mind, or if that's just how I interpreted her, but.
It always makes me always feel sad for people who don't laugh. You know what I mean? It's just like, you just kind of go,
You're missing out on the good parts of life.
Yeah. And I always just think, what happened that somebody can't laugh? Because I'll be around people and I'll make jokes. And then I'm just going, did you know that was a joke? That was funny.
Right.
You know, I've done that people before. Can't see my face, but I'm giving a face like, hello. Are you? Did you? Other thing I got was it helps lessen stress and depression and anxiety. And I did not think about this, but it actually can also increase your self-esteem.
Ah, yes, you're right.
I also found one other random fact that I don't know if you know this. You know me, I like to ask questions and then see if you know these. Mm-hmm. Did you know that laughter can burn calories?
Oh, I didn't. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Do you know how many calories that you can burn laughing 10 to 15 minutes a day?
I don't know, but I think you're onto something here. I see a new fad coming, a new exercise laughing fad.
I'm going to get to that one later,
too. I'm going to say, how many calories? 10 minutes a day?
Yeah.
I don't know, 500?
40. So it's not a lot, but okay. No, it's okay, because if you laugh for an hour, I don't know who does that, but you know, I will tell you this is what, but you can, if you go to a comedy club, think about that.
Yeah. Right.
All those people in that comedy club are burning. I mean, they're drinking lots of booze, but they're burning a lot of calories laughing.
Yeah.
What I put together was just a little list of some ways to have more humor in your life, to laugh more.
Before you do that, I just want to say that I've also discovered, and this will segue into what you were going to do, that if you don't have a sense of humor, you can develop one. I mean, it's something like anything, whatever it is you feel like you're lacking in life, if humor is one of them, you can develop a sense of humor. You just have to practice it like anything else. And next thing you know, you can either be funny or at the very minimum, laugh at funny things. So that being said, Michael.
This gets a little deep for a half a second. But one thing that I remember, Robin Williams, who was somebody that I really loved and admired very, very, very much. And he talked really openly. So did Joan Rivers, who was another person who was gone before their time. But I love that a lot of those comedians talk real openly that all that comedy is actually comes from a really dark and painful place. And, you know, I will say, I use the example of Joan Rivers a lot. I know a lot of people thought she was kind of crude and crass. And I was like, we always in our house love her. We love Joan Rivers. And part of her thing was just that she laughed about the rough things in life. You know, her husband committed suicide, and instead of drowning in sadness, which she did at one point, she turned it into comedy, you know, and her, not him killing himself, but the idea of grief. And it turned into something that she turned this horrible pain into something funny. And I think Robin Williams was somebody who had a lot of depression issues. And he took all that and spun it into something really positive by being funny. And I think we sometimes forget a lot of these comedians come from really, really tough places. But this is what they do, is they're able to survive by spinning it around into something really positive and funny. And I think we could all learn a lot of lessons from that.
Oh, I agree. And I've heard that before. I know comedians, they do sort of have a dark side to them.
I just came up with a few tips, and then I thought it'd be kind of fun to do a couple extra little things on that. So one of the first ways you can try to add some laughter and humor in your life, to hang up photos, greeting cards, comic strips, things like that up in your office. Have a notebook that you could do that. Stick them somewhere where you're able to see them regularly.
Are you reading your own notes?
I am.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I wonder if this was part of the Mayo Clinic page as well.
It must be. Yeah. And online jokes and the comics and the funny papers, or, you know, there's humorous podcasts, comedy club. Yeah. There's all kinds of ways to add comedy to your life.
I would say too, just as a side note, the comedy clubs are really great if you find somebody you like. The thing about comedy clubs that I've enjoyed is they're not as expensive as people think. And a lot of times you can get a really good ticket to go see a comedian at a smaller comedy show. You don't always have to go to the big shows, but the smaller comedy shows, you can sometimes get tickets for $10, $15. It's really worth looking into going to a little comedy club and seeing somebody that you really enjoy. You may not always need to go see, you know, Joan Rivers or whoever the big comedians are. Sometimes those smaller comedians are kind of neat and you're in a smaller space, you know?
Yeah.
Next thing that I had also was, so this one I thought we could be a little interactive, is find your go-to humor. I come from a family that my mom is a very funny person. She's very chill, but she likes to read a lot of very intense things about the world, a lot of books about refugees and third world countries and things of that sort. So I told my mom, I'm like, I think you need to read something with more lightness to it. One of my go-to authors is Lori Notaro. I'll tell you that if you've never read a Lori Notaro book, oh, you're missing out. I will tell you that I laugh at books, but I'm kind of an internal laugher. I kind of just like, ha, 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 ha. But I read a story of hers one time, and I was so just taken aback with how funny this was. I was literally reading, falling off the couch, belly laughing at this story about her trying on a pair of pants in a dressing room.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Lori Notaro. My wife has or had most of her books. I don't, at one time anyway. And yeah, that I found them pretty humorous also. Yeah, they're good.
I also really love reading Jan Arden's books.
Oh, I haven't done that.
Oh, they're funny. She's got a great sense of humor. She's somebody that I really admire because she's just approached life with humor, and everything about her is all about humor. The other part I included in there is finding funny go-to movies. So, RB, what is your funny go-to movie or movies?
Oh boy, I don't think I have a go-to. First of all, but I enjoy, you know, funny comedies there's one about it's called Caddyshack, and it's a golf kind of movie. There's another one that, again, I'm talking about from my era. These are from my era, so maybe everyone isn't familiar with these, but there was a comedy group called Monty Python, and they did In Search of the Holy Grail once in the 70s. That's a pretty good movie, too. But honestly, I haven't seen that for 30 years. I haven't watched it. Once in a while, Saturday afternoon, if I'm clicking through the channels and I see it's on TV, I'll stop and watch, 40 seconds of it and go, oh God, that's a great movie. And then I'll turn it off or something. But yeah. How about yourself? Do you have go-tos where if you're feeling down, then you think to yourself, you know what? I need a giggle session.
Yeah. The number ones for me, speaking of physical comedy, would be the National Lampoon movies.
Yeah, those are good. Yes.
Oh, I could watch them all day long. Legally Blonde is one that I really love.
I've never seen that. I hear it's really good and it got a lot of reviews.
It's just you don't need a lot of deep thinking in it, and that's what I love. And then I kind of put a couple TV shows, which Golden Girls, it's just, I just love the humor. You can put it on and you know what you're getting. The other one that I kind of fallen back in love with is a British show called Absolutely Fabulous or Ab Fab.
Yeah.
And it's basically these two kind of dim-witted middle-aged women that are both drunks. And it is one of those shows. It's very British. It's hilarious. It makes me laugh, like belly laughing, watching, just being like, this is so ridiculous.
I've laughed pretty hard at good Golden Girls in the past myself. And another one that I have is, as far as shows are concerned, is The Big Bang Theory. I find that really clever, clever humor, and it makes me laugh. Then one final thing is there's some British shows that I belly laughed. One of them's called Father Ted. It's very old. And then there's another one. Oh, The IT Crowd.
Oh, that one really good.
I've laughed so hard on some of those. I personally think British humor is better than American humor, from what I can tell. I just laugh harder with the Brits, I guess, myself.
I think it's that once again, like kind of like I know you and I and our spouses, it's like that dry sense of humor. It's not like a joke for a joke's sake, you know?
Yeah, right.
I had a couple other things in there that kind of pulled up in my research. One was consider laughter yoga. Have you heard of this?
I have, and that's in my notes. Our notes are identical.
This has really never happened. I would love to try it sometime.
Sounds like laughter yoga would be doubly beneficial. You know, I mean, you're stretching your body or you're working your muscles, and then you're increasing your endorphin level.
I have to say, if you have a dog and you do yoga, I think that's considered laughter yoga because our dogs want to do yoga with us. And there's been multiple times I'm doing yoga and I'm just laughing because it's like that goat yoga. I want to try goat yoga too.
And I don't know for a fact, but they have goat yoga in Portland, and that may be in Portland, Oregon. That may be the only place where goat yoga exists. I'm not sure.
Another thing was just to practice laughing.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be better about that. I don't practice laughing.
I don't either. And that actually does sound like a skill that would be, again, beneficial. I mean, it's a better skill than I think people practice being moody down in the dumps and stuff. They should practice the other direction, practice laughing.
The other ones that I had in there were, one was I wanted to give a kudos shout out to our friend Martha. And she started a wall project. And it's just one of those things that was life-changing for a lot of people. When COVID hit, she put, with her niece said, you should put a joke on your outside of your wall. And she had four little concrete walls. And she wrote a joke on each one. And every week, without fail, every week she put new jokes on those walls. It was really neat because people would come up to her and thank her for it. And she did it for 2 years straight. She just ended the project. I'm going to call it the Martha's Wall Project. I just can't imagine being every week for 2 years coming up with four new jokes and putting them on the wall. It's just, I don't know. It's something that changes lives. I also would give kudos to a lot of people who post funnies on Instagram stories. I think those are life-changing, and a lot of people appreciate that.
And that Martha thing, that is kind of cool.
So what else do you have?
Well, you know, it kind of goes along with what you've just been talking about. If you put yourself in the position to be around people who are funny or situations that are funny, or again, like we mentioned, watch those television shows or a half hour of reading the funnies, Dilbert or whatever kind of humor you're attracted to, then you're putting yourself in position to have a greater sense of humor.
I think, RB, you might have had something else.
I have one more thing. I just want to make sure that you know what isn't funny. You know, off-color jokes, racial jokes, sexual jokes. There's other ways to laugh. And in a lot of ways, there's not a place for that kind of stuff. And then one last thing is this laughter therapy we're talking about. You get the same rush that you do with journaling, yoga, and music therapy. It's the same result. Studies have proven that it's the same result. So, you know, basically, I guess the studies are saying if you just take care of yourself and be mindful more than anything and do the things that you feel good about, laughter being one of them, or yoga, or listening to that music, whatever it is, it's going to be beneficial to you in those ways. And those are the things I wanted to bring up.
I think we'll do something a little bit different, something a little more fun. Got anything for me?
Michael, a guy walks into a hospital. Please help me. I'm shrinking. I'm losing an inch of height every few minutes. Sorry, the team is on their way to an emergency, the nurse says. You're just going to have to be a little patient.
So this is one that my brother and I wrote when we were kids. So all mine are really dad jokey. So I have to just say that from the start. So why did the cow cross the road?
I don't know.
Moo knows.
What's that?
Moo knows.
Moo knows?
Like, who knows?
Funny you should say that, because I got this buddy I've been worrying about, and he looks like a cow in a way. He just went to the doctor, and he's got a problem. He can't stop farting. I hope no one's listening to this. It's kind of personal, but he goes to the doctor. He's really worried. The doctor checks him out. Apparently, he tells me you can't hear him, you can't smell the farts, but he's farting all the time, and it's really starting to worry him. The doctor checks him out, looks down his throat, looks in his ears and stuff, and he pulls out his little prescription pad, and he writes the guy a prescription and says, take two of these a day for the next 2 weeks, and then come back and see me. And so my buddy does, and much to his chagrin, he goes back and he tells the doctor, I'm still farting just as much as I always have. I'm really annoyed. And now everyone can smell them. They all know I'm farting. And it's the most embarrassing thing that can ever happen to a person. The doctor looks at him and says, that's fantastic. We're making great progress. Now that we've fixed your nose, let's see if we can't do something about your hearing.
Okay. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Cash.
Cash who?
No, thanks. I like peanuts instead.
I was thinking recently that working in a mirror factory is something I could really see myself doing.
You know what? I feel really, really dumb.
Why?
I only know 25 letters of the alphabet.
Oh, no.
I don't know why.
Maybe you'll get introduced one day. Helvetica and Times New Roman walk into a bar. Get out of here, shouts the bartender. We don't serve your type.
Why did the mushroom have so many friends?
I don't know.
Because he was a fun guy.
Oh, yes. I guess I did know. Yeah. I know this guy. He turned 55. Kind of a midlife, midlife. And soon afterwards, his husband of 22 years leaves him for a younger man. So this guy, he's having a midlife crisis now, and he decides to buy a Corvette as part of his midlife crisis management.
And, as we all have.
Yeah, as we all have. And he's out driving his Corvette around, and he's out on the 101, and he's going about 95, and he sees police lights flashing in his rearview mirror, and he thinks, oh, man, you know, not just what I need. He thinks, you know what? I'm going to outrun this guy. I've got a brand new Corvette. I can do it. He stomps on it. He gets it up to about 120. He looks in the rearview mirror, and the cop is still there. And he's thinking, you know, I can't do this. This is stupid. I just need to take my medicine. So he slows down. He pulls over. And the cop gets out. He walks around the window and says, it's the end of my shift. If you can give me a good reason why you're going that fast, I'm going to let you off, because I don't really want to take the time to write you a ticket. And the guy thinks for a second. He says, okay, here's the deal. My husband left me after 22 years, and he's now living with a younger cop. And he said, when I saw your lights flashing in the rearview mirror, I just thought you were trying to bring him back.
Why is dark spelled with a K?
I don't know.
Because you can't see in the dark.
Ham sandwich walks into a bar, orders a beer. Bartender says, sorry, we don't serve food here.
What generation does Forrest Gump belong to? Gen X, Gen Y, or Gen Z?
Gen Z.
None of those. He belongs to Gen A.
Gen A. I thought the dryer was shrinking my clothes. Turns out it was the refrigerator with all the food in it.
Oh,
I don't trust those trees. They seem kind of shady to me.
Now, see, that's my kind of joke right there. Due to noise complaints, Hawaii's passed a law that you're no longer allowed to laugh above a certain decibel. Now you can only use aloha.
Very good. My wife is really mad at the fact that I have no sense of direction. So I packed up all my stuff and I write.
I hate when you don't left and you have to write. What kind of underpants does a cloud wear?
Don't know.
Thunderpants.
Thunderpants. Why did Billy get fired from the banana factory? He kept throwing away the bent ones. Did I tell you that I don't trust stairs? It seems like they're always up to something.
See, I needed this. This is our 40 calories burning out.
Yeah. So Jerry at the retirement center, he wakes up one day and he's feeling fresh as a daisy. He's just spry as can be. He opens up his door. He walks out in the hall. He starts pounding on the door across the hall. He yells, "Earl, wake up. I'm buying breakfast this morning. I'm 94 years old today. Come on. I'll meet you back here in the hall in 5 minutes." And so he goes and gets dressed and brushes his teeth. And, you know, 5 minutes later, he and Jerry meet down the hall and they're talking about how it feels to be 94. And if you ever thought you were going to be 94, or if this was a surprise, or are you trying to be 100? And in case they're walking down the hall and they come up across a couple little ladies sitting there in the alcove knitting. And they say hi as Ellie. They all know each other. And Jerry says to Ellie, "Hey, Ellie, it's my birthday today. Guess how old I am?" She says, "Well, I have that skill. I can guess people's age." And he says, "Really? Well, you know, how old am I?" And she says, "Well, you're going to have to do a few things, Jerry. You're going to have to stick these Women's Day magazines down the front of your pants here before I can guess your age." And he's like, "That's stupid. I'm not going to do that." And she says, "Well, Jerry, then I'm not going to guess your age. You know, if you want to play along, then I'll guess your age." He says, "Okay." Women's magazines down the front of his pants and says, "Okay, how old am I?" And she says, no, "You need to do what you're told here, Jerry. We got to do some other stuff. You got to pull your pockets out and your front pockets, like bunny ears, kind of pull them inside out and hold them like that. And then I'm going to," because she's sitting down, she reaches over and says, "I'm going to tie your shoelaces together." And he's like, "What is going on here?" And she says, "Just do what you're told. We're almost there." She says, "Now you got to take off your hat and hold it in front of your face." And he's like, I don't want to do this." She says, "Jerry, do what you're told." And so he does it. And she says, "Okay, give me 20 seconds to just sit here and think about it for a second." And he's kind of complaining while he's holding his hat in front of his face. And then all of a sudden she says, "Jerry, you're 94 years old." And he says, he takes the hat away from his face and says, "Holy cow, how the heck did you figure that out? How can you figure that out by pulling my pockets inside out?" And she says, "Well, we all know how old you are. You've been yelling it up and down the hall for the last 15 minutes.
Why do chicken coops only have two doors? If they had four, they'd be chicken sedans.
Dear math, grow up and solve your own problems. Did you hear about the new restaurant called Karma?
No.
There's no menu. You just kind of get what you deserve. That's it for me.
Let's see. I think that's all I have as well. What are your final thoughts on laughter therapy?
Oh, it's good. You know, I thought this was a fun episode to do. Actually, I was looking forward to it. When I go to a website, a joke website, and like dad jokes, you mentioned dad jokes earlier. There's a dad joke website. You can go on there and there's, I don't know, 150 jokes. You read the first 10 or 15 and you're like, "Okay, oh yeah, okay, I get that. All right, yeah, okay." Then the next grouping of, you know, 25 jokes, you start laughing. And then every once in a while, you'll hit one that catches you off guard and you're like, "Oh, that is so funny, clever." It's sort of a momentum thing. If someone can harness a good laugh, you know, get the world laughing, I think there's a cliche that, and then the whole world will laugh with you. How about yourself?
I try every day to add some type of laughter in the world, whether it be something small. Sometimes at work, I'll put a little dad joke in our whole team message so that everybody gets dad jokes, or try to just look up something funny or watch for something funny my dogs do. I think that it's really important in life to have humor, and I think looking for humor in just the littlest things can make a difference in your life. And if you don't have humor, then maybe dig deep and find out how to find it. Where can you find it? What brings laughter and humor into your world? And maybe it's right around the corner and you don't even realize it. So I'm just an advocate for it. I feel like, you know, when times are tough, it's easier sometimes to just laugh about them. And there's a time and place for everything, but I think laughter can heal. I really do think it can heal. More, you know, you hear more about people healing from good things than bad things. And I think humor is a big part of that. So,
yeah.
And on that note, thank you, of course, everybody. Please, when you're on our social medias, please share your favorite jokes. What are your favorite knock knock jokes? What are your favorite dad jokes? Tell us a good joke on our pages. Send them to us on Instagram. Rate, review us, give us stars, listen to us, buy us a coffee. Check our profile and you will see all of our links of where you can find us and help us keep this podcast going. We hope that every day brings humor to your life, and hopefully we will talk to you soon and have some more fun times. Be safe and take care of yourself.
Michael, we've just concluded another informative, entertaining episode of the latest Lawnmower in the Fast Lane podcast. That means it's time for a brand new segment of Perspectives, where Michael Lee and I choose to talk about a single topic from different perspectives. I was recently meeting with a gentleman, very nice guy. I'm going to guess his age is 72. There was a big group of 20-somethings there, and they were all drinking beer, and they were louder than everyone else, and they were a little rowdy, and there were a lot of F-bombs coming across. And they were actually loud enough to where we kind of had to stop and pause our conversation a little bit till it calmed down a little. So we could start talking again because we didn't want to have to try and yell over them. In any case, it was annoying. And the general conclusion at the table, there were four of us, was that those young people are annoying. Don, the fourth person at the table, his perspective was that, well, he lives in a 55 and older community, and his perspective was, no, those people aren't annoying compared to grumpy old men who he gets to hang out with all the time. And he would rather not be around those guys. He would rather be around the young people with, you know, life and energy in them than be around old people that are in a bad mood all the time. What's your perspective on it, Michael?
I think my perspective on that would be everybody's annoying. I actually have a perspective on this. I feel like I'm learning a lot about this. Because I read a lot of information in regards to ages and how we will always say it's kind of that whole thing of kids' music is bad. And, you know, we always say like, the kids don't know what they're talking about. The kids don't know what it's like. The kids, blah, 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 blah. I think I feel like is everybody's annoying to an extent, but it's a matter of more of, it's not an age group. I think we tend to circle too many people in age groups. I do think grumpy older people are grumpy if they choose to be grumpy. I do think millennials can be very self-serving if they decide to be self-serving. But I also know a lot of millennials that aren't. This is part of, I think, why we have a podcast. I think we sometimes tend to generalize people by the age that they are, as opposed to the circumstances of who they are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, kind of. It reminds me of Martin Luther King. Judging them by the content of their character, maybe, is what I'm hearing.
Right. Exactly. I think that the challenge is always, I look at my brother. So I have a young brother and he's in his late 20s. He is very responsible. He's goofy, but he's very responsible. He's in school. He's, you know, he has a house. He does all these things that are very responsible. He would not be somebody I would lump into the millennial group, but that's because he is his person. I do think that there is certain things that come along with age, but I don't think it's always because of an age. I think there's so many circumstances involved with that. So yeah, I think we got grumpy old people. I think we have younger people. I will say, I think the biggest thing that's happened over the years, and this is my own personal perspective, which is why we have a perspectives, I feel like we've lost something in regards to being respectful of other people. I really believe that. The idea that I would never in my life imagine sitting at a table just cussing when there's other people around me, I would never drop an F-bomb like that. I don't feel that that's appropriate. Like and I think that's what we've lost a lot of. I had this thought actually literally yesterday when I saw some things on the side of the road that said some things I felt inappropriate. And I'm thinking, I never could imagine saying those type of things. The people though that were there were probably older than me that were having these signs up. So I think it's not an age thing. I think the perspective I have on that is judge people by their character.
Oh, that's good. You're changing my perspective. What I wanted to say was, I think I was that young person, not all the time, but there were times when I was that young person I just described, probably. I'm sure a lot of people would say that I had an unbridled enthusiasm in my 20s, let's put it that way. I'm not saying I was right. I just didn't have the proper perspective on things at the time. And even into my 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, actually. I think what I'm hearing you say, and I'm kind of agreeing with you that I hadn't thought of before, is maybe the times are changing. Maybe I wonder if there's a slow change that is taking place. You had a good perspective.
Thank you again, listeners, for always supporting us. And just remember, we have all of our links in our bio. Come check us out. Buy us a coffee on our website. And keep yourself safe out there. And we'll see you next week.
You've just experienced another episode of Lawnmower in the Fast Lane, which is a podcast dedicated to helping Gen X and baby boomers become their best selves. We hope the content of this episode was both informative and entertaining. If you have suggestions or ideas for future shows, please email us at all one word, lawnmowerinthefastlane@gmail.com. All those seeking good karma points can pay it forward by liking and subscribing us on all social media outlets, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Thank you, and keep expanding your world.